Hello, and welcome to an episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
You know, the one thing I do preach about being a Nintendo fan, and I gotta preach about the company of Nintendo, is just because there has been so much doing their own stuff, we have no... And then looking on the other side of the pond, it's like, oh, what is the neighbors doing over there? Oh, there's been infighting. Okay, don't care. Just continue fishing.
And speaking of infighting, tell us, Tyler.
Wait, what's that supposed to mean?
you know what it means, Tyler. You know it. Anyway, how are you?
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm doing well. I'm enjoying some quality Nintendo games this week. It's been a hefty week of games I've been playing, so I'm excited then to segment.
Right. And of course, we're getting ready for next week, which is going to be quite, yeah, definitely going to be a big month. Pretty much a good finish for the end of the month for Nintendo. So yeah, it's definitely going to be something. Yep.
I wish it was coming out tomorrow because I suddenly find myself with a lot of free time, which I will explain in what? How have you been playing? And I will go first. I will go first.
Are you Dutch?
It's like, you listen here, Dr. Evil. There's only two things... No, sorry, it's Gold Member. You listen here, Gold Member. There's only two things I cannot tolerate in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures, and the Dutch! I always love that line, because he's like the first one. Austin's in the back. He's like, yeah, that's you, Dad, yeah! And they're like, and the Dutch! Wait, what? Austin Powers. Why did I watch those movies? Anyway, I will go first. And I am not a Dutch hater, because I'm going first because I have not been playing too much. I have, of course, been playing Saints Row the Third, which I'll be playing later today because I need to decompress with a level called Murder Brawl. Should be fun. Chainsawing people to death. Groovy. The other thing, of course, I've been playing is Tempest Trials about Fire Emblem Heroes. And I want to note something that what I used to do with the Tempest Trials is I would dedicate about an hour every day during the trial to get about 5,000 points. Then to 10 days, 5,000 points apiece, and then I'm done. But nowadays, with my weird schedule and who knows what's going to happen and all that, I'm just like, okay, I've got like 2 hours. Let's see how many points I can get, and then I'll do that again and again and again. I've got like 7 days to go, and I'm almost at 40,000 points or something like that. And I'm just like, I don't care. I want to get these done. And I leveled up my base, I'm gonna call her base form Nyla.
Okay.
Because she gives me the bonus, and I was just like, you know what, I really should, you know, accentuate and do even better. And thank God I did, because like that last level, especially with the Azura Leanne.
Oh yeah, okay.
Combo, that's kind of hard to beat at times. And so I have Nyla, I have a Pirate Nasala because he can do a back to back attack. Then I got my crap. Who's the bow woman from Mirage Sessions?
Starts
with an F, I think.
Leone? Not Leone. Okay, hang on.
All right. Anyway, her, and I got Larcy, one of the festival heroes. And they're actually a really powerful team, so I really do. So I've been able to crank them out really, really well. And I'm almost up to like 500 orbs, which is great because I'm waiting for the new banner, because I am livid about the one that just happened. All right. We got the...
Hatari and
Hatari, the Hatari customs.
And just to answer your question, is Eleonora.
Eleonora, right. She's really good. She's honestly a really good character. But I am livid about this new banner.
Here we go.
Yeah. Oh, you better believe. Here you go. All right. So first and foremost, they're doing a thing called Hatari. They're doing like the Hatari customs, like what
right.
they did with Hashido
okay,
or whatever.
Okay.
We've never been to freaking Hatari. That's half the point. Is that Nyla and Raphael and Valuk, who is still not in the game, for the record, all come from Hitari because they want to see the rest of the world, because they thought that they were the only ones after the Great Flood by Yune, yada, 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 lore. And we never go there. Ever. Period. End of story. We never send a single mission in Hitari, and yet they're doing a Hitari customs? Like, what? Like, that doesn't even make sense. And then the people they choose for this banner is weird. Like, Azura and Leanne? Why?
Well, they both are singers. That makes a little sense.
Okay, but... Yes.
As far as duo heroes.
Leanna is a singer, but that's more about why her role as a Heron versus Azura. I'm not getting into the lore. Anyway,
that was a good point by me.
They are both singers. I acknowledge that they are both singers, but there's. And obviously, it's not the same as Sita and Plumira, which just don't go together.
Right, that's a duo that does.
Exactly. But then they have the nerve to objectify my queen in Nyla. Nyla was absolute perfection in her base form, the form that we see in Fire Emblem Heroes before this banner. And what do they decide? Hey, how do we decide to improve her? They give her less clothes. Like, my god, do you ever stop? She is the best ever. And yes, that kind of reveals that I guess I'm into like cat/wolf girls. Whatever. I'll admit my type, I suppose. But she is perfection. And they decide, no, we can make her prettier by giving her less clothes. That's not how it works. Like, you freaking monsters.
You do realize that doesn't take away from the OG Nyla, right?
That's why I'm only using... I refuse to go try and get that new Nyla, because I've got the true queen. The queen of my heart.
It's about branding, Will. It's
screw
about
the
what the Fire Emblem franchise means to people. That's facts. To some people, to people who have been diehard fans for a long time, Fire Emblem's about serious, mature adult stories with badass characters.
Yeah.
And now they're changing the branding. They're turning the branding towards, oh, it's about sexy anime bikini girls. That's
pretty
not
much. And Camilla.
It's not our Fire Emblem. One of my friends, shout out Anki Ball, lifelong Fire Emblem fan. It's like, I loved the gameplay of Three Houses, but if we keep getting into this waifu simulator, like, I'm like out. Like, I'm done with it. And I can't blame them. That's not why so many fans play the game, and it's a bummer to see something that you love be transformed. Like, understand why Todd is upset about his favorite character being treated this way.
Well, she's not my favorite character. You know, my favorite character is Ike, but she's my queen.
Right.
All right, she's my queen. And here's the thing. Why is Nyla my queen? All right?
We should be on the soapbox, honestly.
Watch your mic. Anyway, when she came to play in Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn, okay? So at this point, we had already seen the Lagus, you know, we saw the lions and the crows, the ravens and the hawks and the dragons, it was great. In comes Nyla, just this absolutely powerful, don't want to say creature, that's mean, entity. And the moment you see her, the moment she speaks, she has this power that exudes from her, both in her art and in her voice. Yes, she doesn't have the voice actress in Radiant Dawn, but still. She commands respect. She exudes power. She is the queen of Atari, and you do not question it. And for the record, she's the first female Lagus leader that we meet. Every other one was male. Kynegis, Tibarn, Dynegis, Nessala. All of them were male. And so here's the first female, and she's the wolf queen, and I love wolves, obviously. And she just commands respect. There's at times when even Mikhail's like, is she always that forceful? You're dang right she's that forceful, because she knows she can be, and people will respond to it. And I loved that. And again, her wolf form was awesome too. But she was just someone who exuded that power and that regalness. She was a queen. She knew it. And she could command people, and she did it. But she also had compassion. She had her heart. She knew what was right and what was wrong. And that was beautiful to me. That's why she is my queen. And then I see what they did in this Atari banner, and I'm like, that's just wrong. Why would you diminish who she is for what? Just to get people to spend money to get a less clothed Nyla? That's not the point. If you love Nyla, you love her because she's that powerful, exuding radiance. Radiance. that was unintentional pun, I promise you. She is beautiful just the way she is. That's why when that banner happened, I posted the OG art, or the Fire Emblem Heroes OG art, for Nyla. And I'm like, that's beauty. That is perfection. And what they did was wrong. And I hate that.
The way you described the Nyla just now, you reminded me of Markiplier, like, with Lady Dimitrescu. Like, it's not a player of things I'd be interested in, but it's not the power. It's everything else. Like, I'm sorry, you reminded me of Markiplier during that moment.
And here's another breaking kayfabe thing. I have a comic book series called Home, and in it I have this group of knights called the Knights of Altaria, And I wanted to make sure that they had this really cool set of armor that was a mix between Tron and Fire Emblem. And a lot of the knights via Kickstarter and friends I had were female. And I wanted to make sure that every single female in the Knights of Altaria looked like knights and exuded power. It didn't yet had their own style. And what did I go to? I went to Fire Emblem. I looked at characters like Sully and Nethany and even Alencia in her queen armor. And they are very much fully covered. Yes, they show some skin, like Sully has like breaks in her legs and whatever, but that's more for movement than anything else. And you look at these characters and like they are beautiful, but they are also powerful looking. And then again with Fire Emblem Heroes, they like they find ways to objectify them. And I know, like, oh, but that's just they're trying to, you know, get people to make blood sacrifices. And I'm like, you can do that by just bringing in the characters. Why do you think Choose Your Legends is so popular? Is because we get to see these awesome forms of these characters. And yet, more times than not, you find ways to put them in, like, the skimpiest of outfits or put them in, like, literal bath towels. Literal bath towels! And say, this is a brand new character. This is the only one you should get. No, I don't want to get that character. No, I will not. And now they did it to my queen. And my heart breaks. Oh, also, Choose Your Legends is happening.
Yep.
I chose for my first pick Cordelia. I didn't think about her at first, but I'm like, because I was thinking, who do I want to pick? And then I go to the website, and the third picture, there's my lucky number, was Cordelia. And I'm like, perfect. I don't know if I doubt she'll win. I actually don't know if there's a front runner. Because last year was all three houses.
It was pretty much, yeah, like, since with Marianne and Gatekeeper, and, yeah, now with the recently with Three Houses, like, I can only imagine, because I know Violet was pretty much up there on the male side. I'm not sure about the female side of things, so, like, yeah, we already have, I think Dorothea is probably up there, but, who was the mage? Lysithia. Like, yeah, they were up there, so I forgot what was the last results, because like, most likely the last polling results is probably likely to get, they're going to get the next set, if the fans continue to vote as they did last time.
Fair. So I'm very curious about how this Choose Your Legends will go, and until then I will just keep grinding for orbs and waiting for a actual worthy banner to get my attention. Tyler, how about you? Because you've been trying to play a lot of games recently.
Yeah, so my collection is bursting with Pokemon Legends Arceus coming out next week. I'm probably going to have to put everything that I've been playing on hold. But I got back into Hades. I got my younger brother and his girlfriend it for Christmas, and they've been playing it. That made me want to jump back in and start playing it again. So I've been having a blast kind of revisiting that game and starting a fresh file. I'm trying to beat it on the first escape attempt without any power-ups or any, like, mirror powers, and it's very, very challenging. I don't know if I'll ever be able to do it, but that's what my current quest is. But I also got Pokemon on impulse. A friend came over and said, I got Brilliant Diamond. You got to get Shining Pearl. So I just went out, got Shining Pearl, and I've been playing that for the last 36 hours. And honestly, having a blast. I was very critical of the art design originally, and don't ever accuse me of being dishonest to you, dear listener, because I'm here to say I was actually wrong. I like the visuals in this game. Actually seeing it, actually playing it, I definitely didn't think it showed well originally, but something about the retro style that I like, and the comparisons to Link's Awakening drove me insane. Now that I'm actually playing it and I've got it on my big screen, I could see it. It does have that same kind of charm. I do prefer the vibrant colors of Link's Awakening, but Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl's art design's not really bothering me. And besides that, it's a Pokemon game. I enjoy Pokemon, and I've been pretty hooked to it. I've only cleared the first gym. I picked Pipple up as my starter. As always, I'm on a quest to fill out the entire Pokedex, so we'll see how that goes. My buddy has the other version of it, so we'll be trading to complete the decks.
And I have Brilliant Diamond, so I could help you should you ask.
Hey, I will definitely ask. I will definitely ask. Because
make sure you go to the underground. Like, that's really addicting.
I haven't found the underground yet.
It'll happen naturally. Just wait.
Okay, cool. Yeah, there's a few things. I'm like trying to go get my bike right now. And I had never played the original Gen 4, so the story is all new to me. I actually appreciate the fact that Team Galactic seems relatively threatening. I found the Team Yell to be just a complete joke in Sword and Shield, so it's good to see the more old school, even though they're definitely not superiorly written or anything like that. I like to have the antagonist that actually feels tough, and you get that in this game. So that's been a lot of fun. I've also continued to pour hours into Halo Infinite, starting to level up. I'm a gold 6. I don't want to brag. I know that's trash, but for like, trust me, I'm starting to get better. I'm very excited about it. but it's been a crazy week of video games on my end. So that I think gets to it all, but honestly I'm not sure.
Yeah, once you get to Onyx, let us know.
I will. My younger brother is 2 levels away. He is almost Onyx, and I feel as though I'm closing in on his skill level, so it might happen.
All right, Will, how about you?
Well, for me, as you said, Todd, I've been continuing on with Faye, and I gotta say, like, with this Tempest Trial, like, with the free unit of, was it Keen, I believe, that was his name? I forgot his name, but yeah, Keen. Yeah, so, gotta say, like, I gotta give props where it's due. Intelligent System has been definitely giving us some pretty darn good free units in these Tempest Trials, as well as, like, even the maps, the optional maps as well, with some of the villains, like, the last villain, which is a very good counter to a Legendary Sigurd. Which gotta give props to Intelligent Systems with those free units. They are very good. They're very good. Yeah, just currently continuing grinding orbs right now. Sitting at like 660 orbs right now. But majorly what I've been playing so far is like since with the release of Monster Hunter Rise on the PC, I just kind of got addicted back and went back into Monster Hunter Rise. And right now, yeah, I just managed to hit rank 100 right now. And right now, this is currently my white whale, and which is that Valstrax, which is that older dragon who, for any Monster Hunter fan knows, yeah, that Valstrax, that shooting star who literally has steel wings and can literally skewer you in 2 hits, is just like, I can see why he earned such a reputation, the Valstrax, that older dragon, very dangerous, very lethal, and yeah, currently is giving me trouble right now, so. During this past week, I was just continually playing Monster Hunter Rise, doing the event side quest, because again, if you have seen their update, there's like plenty of collaboration with, including Sonic, which yeah, Tyler, I think you probably would appreciate these Sonic quests, especially the fact that one Sonic quest, like one low rank, you actually collect 100 rings and to get the items to make us your Palico, your cat companion, as Sonic, which they also had Escape from the City. They do play Escape from the City.
Is it just the classic version?
Yes, it's a classic. That's it's hilarious. The classic, and of course, like the high rank mission of like I believe the shadow of the Faker, basically copying with the shadow theme. Yeah, they actually do play Live and Learn. I am serious. They do play Live and Learn. So.
Fire.
So yeah, like there is definitely a lot of service in these collaboration events. Even like I just managed to go and finish up with the Okami and made my Palimu, my dog companion, as Amaterasu, and yeah, that costume very good. It even has like the little effects of from the original game of Okami. So all these collaborations, very fun. Definitely get a chance to when you hit those high ranks, and yeah, just seeing people play Monster Hunter Rise on the PC. is very nice to see. I'm very happy to see that Monster Hunter Rise has get that second win of popularity, and I've been also seeing many players playing on the Switch as well. So yeah, PC or Switch, it is definitely good to be a Monster Hunter fan these days. So yep. So yeah, that's currently what I've been playing recently of late.
All right. And with that, we head to the news, because it's been a very interesting news week. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first, we talk about easily the biggest news of the week. Activision Blizzard.
Yep.
Oh, what's that? What happened this time? Well, we could talk about the continued, you know, litigation that's going against them, or we could talk about the fact that they've been bought by Microsoft. Gee, I wonder what we're going to talk about. Yes, in a move that absolutely stunned many, and I do mean many, Activision Blizzard has been bought by Microsoft for, get this, $68.7 billion. And as one awfully may noted on the G4 series Boosted, I don't know why they just didn't just round it up so we could say they bought it for 69. It's nice. Right there. The joke is right there. All right, but yeah, $68.7 billion in cash, and thus it is the largest acquisition of a gaming company in history. All right, and just so you know, and a thank you to our boss King Koopa Keith for making this article. The previous major Microsoft acquisition of ZeniMax Bethesda was only $7.5 billion. So that's like a lot more.
Yep.
I was gonna do math, but I'm like, no. I straight up had a nightmare about a math test two nights ago, and I'm almost to my 10th anniversary of being graduated from college. I'd like to stop having these nightmares now. Anyway, so yeah, this deal, when finalized, it's not finalized yet, and it's going to be taking place over the course of a year, just to be clear. But when it's done, that would mean that Microsoft is the owner of franchises like Call of Duty, Candy Crush, Warcraft, Diablo, some game called Overwatch, and Hearthstone.
Yep, it is quite something. Yeah. It's like, we always heard, like, again, the stories of Activision Blizzard, and of course, like, the annual Call of Duty, which, at the time of this recording, yeah, Phil Spencer of Xbox has talked with Sony, and they will allow Call of Duty become on multiple platforms, as usual. But, yeah, when I first heard the story, it's just, wow. So, they're gonna add more onto it, and of course, Koopa Keefe basically says, like, if they're gonna do this, like, are they gonna make the next Killer Instinct? Because that's the major thing, like, have Master Chief in Killer Instinct. That would be something. Well, they actually did have the Arbiter, yeah, they actually had, in Killer Instinct. But, like, other characters, like, I don't know, yeah, from Diablo in Killer Instinct, that would be something. But, yeah, like, even some other, like, icon from fighting games in, like, there's the ideas are out there right now, so that's one good thing about this acquisition. But at the same time, like, on the other hand, it's just like, okay, now Microsoft owns this major company, and like, is it a good thing, is it a bad thing? There's a lot of things we're going to, of course, naturally the question of monopolies and all that. So this thing is definitely making waves, and how it's going to shape the gaming industry is, it's definitely, we'll have to see as the year goes on.
Yeah, this was scary to me. Some people seem like they were mixed on this. I'm 100% against it. I know that Activision Blizzard is a scummy company, and people are hoping that this purchase will lead to leadership changes. Maybe it will, but as a gamer, I don't like to see this arms race kind of escalating in this way. Microsoft is buying a ton of popular third-party studios, and I almost feel bad for them because Xbox has been left behind since the 360 in the United States because Sony has so many exclusive games. They always have the better exclusives, and Microsoft, now they're trying to fight, but in doing so, I think they're making the space worse for everyone. They've said that Call of Duty will be multi, and I don't care about Call of Duty at all, but there, that does give me some hope that maybe these games won't stay on Microsoft's platform exclusively forever. But from a strategic standpoint for Microsoft, it does make sense for them to make these games exclusive. They've said they're going to do exclusive stuff with Bethesda. I don't see why Activision Blizzard will be any different. And ultimately, but my number one fear is that a company like Microsoft rolls in and throws a bag at Nintendo. I'm not saying that this would happen, but they could. Microsoft has so much more money than Nintendo, given all of the wings of their business. They could throw a bag that you just can't say no to. And now suddenly, you know, we're losing these beloved franchises. They're becoming homogenized and morphed into this one gaming ecosystem that I just think is stifles creativity and is not good for players. One of the things that I've kind of thought about likening it to is Netflix. Netflix, their goal is to order shows that will get people to subscribe to Netflix for the first time. they're not really worried about keeping people there. They're worried about getting you to buy it for the first time. And I'm afraid that gaming executives in this world where everything is centralized will look and say, okay, XYZ game is what gets people buying the most, like, X style game is the most popular. We're just going to release 20 X style games instead of a little bit of platformers, a little bit of shooters, a little bit of RPGs. That's the nightmare scenario. And I could definitely see it happening, especially with Microsoft kind of going after such a big fish. I mean, this is one of the biggest fish in the market. So
it's just kind of also interesting to see, because like as we've also seen how the internet reacted, like, yes, apparently Sony's stock plummeted reaction to this acquisition. And of course, naturally, fanboys, Sony fans definitely like says like, yeah, this thing, yeah, basically we don't like it, and like this whole possibility of like exclusive deals, yada, console exclusive, yada yada yada. Like, okay, we know Sony has been doing this for so long, like obviously Final Fantasy VII, and now like all their exclusives. So when like, okay, Microsoft will do it, we're like, we're gonna go grab up and make this thing all on exclusive. Wait, that's illegal. Apparently from Sony, and yeah, there's just this whole, like, in my opinion, foolish, like, bickering of Xbox and Sony people. It's just like, oh, well, you can't do this, but we've been doing this for the whole thing, the same thing this whole many years, and it's like, okay, like, yeah, like, that's your own fault, Sony. I mean, obviously, but your own faults, but again, it's a very foolish conversation on that side, so, but it's... I do a sympathize with your point, Tyler. It's just like when they have this much like under their wing right now, it's just like, what's gonna happen? I mean, heck, right, because like, yeah, it almost seems like they're almost becoming like Apple of gaming industry. It seems that's what it appears to be.
Yeah.
There's so much. Much to talk about with this. It's honestly crazy. And like Tyler said, this developer arms race has been going on for a while, and Microsoft is technically winning, especially now that they have Bethesda and Activision Blizzard. And most those who actually have the Xbox consoles, it knows how I said consoles, not just the newest one, because you know, shortages. They're all thinking about this just in terms of the Game Pass. Like, oh, does this mean we're going to get a WoW subscription on Game Pass? Does this mean that Overwatch is going to be on Game Pass, and Candy Crush and all these other things are going to be on Game Pass? And yes, I understand that that's a great way of thinking about it, because and the one thing that no one can deny Xbox is crushing it on is their Game Pass. Don't forget, there was a rumor not so long ago that the Switch might be getting the Game Pass, which was a very interesting story, no doubt. It was denied, of course. But, like, I can understand why they want that. And the fact that they bought Activision Blizzard, which has all these IPs that they can now touch on, including some I didn't mention before, like StarCraft and you know, other things. But they have the ability now to use this company almost however they want, which is scary. And make the games they want or don't want, and that's going to be very curious going forward, both in terms of the IPs that may come back, like say a StarCraft or StarCraft 3 or Diablo 4, should that, you know, actually happen, or Overwatch 2, should that actually happen, or whatever expansion is left for World of Warcraft, sure. But like Tyler said, like I'm not sure I like this for various reasons, not the least of which is that first of all, the payout. I mean, them being willing to pay $70 billion, notice I said 70, not 69, $70 billion to get this company, that's a statement. That's not an acquisition. That's a statement. That's them saying, we're going to put as much money as we can into this to make sure we come out on top, which usually that's just how business works. You know, sometimes you got to put the money where your mouth is. And yeah, I understand that. But this feels like overkill. I mean, it was almost overkill when they got Bethesda. And remember, Bethesda made games for all systems, including the Switch. And now they're owned by Microsoft. So who knows where that's all going to go. And now they got, you know, Activision Blizzard, home of some of the most popular properties of the last 10 years, 20 years. And who knows? Could you please stop doing that?
Sorry. Okay.
Please. And it's like, you don't know where it's going to go. And that scares me. And then, of course, now there's like, oh, now there's pressure on Sony. Oh, now there's pressure on Nintendo. Like, Sony, maybe. Nintendo, not so much.
Not likely.
Not likely. Because here's the thing. And I don't... Will said this to us in the Discord. He said that Nintendo isn't as financially big as Microsoft. And that's true to a certain extent. They could flex their muscles should they want to. But in terms of like the companies that they could actually get or should actually attempt to get, it's actually rather few. They're not going to get Square. No way. They're not going to get... I said Capcom in our chat with Scott. I thought that'd be funny just because, you know, that way we could assuredly get Ace Attorney 7 and also the return of Beautiful Joe. How have they not made another Beautiful Joe game? The world may never know. But like that's an obvious one. And then the real obvious one is Platinum Games, because of course of Bayonetta and Astral Chain and other things that they've helped on with Nintendo. But the catch with that is that they don't want to be owned. They said themselves they'd rather be an indie, a quote-unquote indie company, if you will, rather than being owned. And you have to respect that. And then, didn't you say, Will, they're also technically working with Tencent?
I did wrote the article a while back. Yes, apparently Tencent is investing in Platinum Games. So okay. I think they're going to be helping with, like, either be publishing different IPs of sorts. So there okay. is some involvement from Tencent with okay. Platinum Games.
But that's investing, not owning. So it is a small difference. But still, like... Nintendo doesn't need to do this because they have the system that everyone is owning. Again, if you remember our last week's podcast, unofficially, they are over 100 million console units and growing and have passed the sales of the Wii. Again, unofficially. But companies are going to come in to make games for this console, no doubt. And then, of course, they got their first-party lineup, which is why one of the funniest memes about the whole thing is that Xbox and Sony are fighting, and here's a picture of Kirby fishing, and Nintendo's like, we're good. They're fine. They don't need it. But people are going to be saying, no, Nintendo needs to get more developers on their side. Why? They got the first-party teams, they got second-party teams, and they got third-party developers that know that if they make a good game on their systems, it'll sell. Look at Rabbids. Look at Octopath. Look at... give me another one. Bravely. Look at Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Look at Astral Chain. You know, Bayonetta 3, hopefully, will sell well, etc., etc., etc. So...
Yeah, we've always known all throughout these many years that Nintendo always does their own thing, for better or for worse. And again, they left the E3 to make their own digital presentation, and it paid off. They gambled on the Switch, and thankfully, it paid off. It always seems to be interesting how Nintendo's always been the outlier in the gaming industry. Again, they do their own thing. They don't care what the trend is. They don't care. As we always said many times over in the podcast, they don't care about 4K graphics. They don't care about, like, all these bells and whistles of the current industry right now, which, for better or for worse, it's to their benefit. Yeah.
It's not even that they don't care. It's that, and that's what I think this really points out, it's that Nintendo doesn't have the money that the other two gaming giants have. Nintendo is a gaming-only company, and that's so important. Their market cap is $56 billion. That's less than what the deal for Activision Blizzard was. Like, to me, this illustrates just how, like, Nintendo could never do this in 100,000 years. This is not the type of purchase that they'd be able to make. And as a Nintendo fan, that's not a big deal in my day-to-day life right now, right? Like, the Activision Blizzard, yeah, I know Diablo is on Switch, and we've gotten a couple things from Blizzard Overwatch. But what scares me is that if money does become an issue for Nintendo, if it comes down to where Nintendo now is isolated in the market due to being that small fish, they could get blocked out. You know, they could eaten by Microsoft or by Sony at some point. I would not be surprised if that happened down the line. At some point, the money difference between and the power that these companies have, it's so skewed against Nintendo that, you know, seeing a purchase like this makes me worry about the future.
I mean, sure, that definitely is one way to look at it, but as we have seen many times over, we always do love a good underdog story, and the way it definitely does look at right now, yeah, Microsoft and Sony, yeah, those two are big. But Nintendo, again, Nintendo's Nintendo. They've always managed to always surprise us some way, one way or another. So.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that the end is nigh or anything like that, but it makes me think about a world where the end is nigh, and I that spooks me. I don't want to.
Tyler,
in that world.
It's 2022. The end is absolutely nigh. Like, let once you embrace it. So yeah, naturally this. Oh, and the other thing I didn't like, and we didn't really talk about this because we were focusing on the gaming standpoint, is that the issues that are still going on with Activision Blizzard are still very much prevalent, including a certain CEO who apparently will make millions off of this deal and then retire quietly off into the sunset. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always and of course, to be clear, Microsoft has blasted what's going on with Activision Blizzard. And there was even, this was a debunked rumor for the record. There was rumors going around that Microsoft blasted Activision Blizzard so that their stock could go down and then they could buy them for cheaper. Which, first of all, that's big brain business right there. That's like, that's galaxy brain business, but it's also a lie because they actually bought them for more than they were actually worth. They actually paid like 20 some odd bucks per share more than they had to for like the most base price. So take that as you will. But the issues are still very much going on at Activision Blizzard, and I would want to, it almost, and I know this is, I would hope that this didn't come into the play, if you will, but it almost feels like a cop-out of an ending. Because instead of like decisive justice being done, no, they're just getting bought out, and more than likely the CEO is going to be, you know, removed or dismissed or however you want to say it by the time the thing is done in a year. Because again, it's not an immediate buyout. It's going to happen slowly over time. So that means this guy is going to be likely in power until the very end. And that's not cool. That's not cool.
Yeah. And apologies for going off the tangent, because they actually just got results from the current Choose Your Legends Round 6 report right now. And so far, Azor and
Burnham... That was a horrible thing. You just pulled a Geoff Keighley. It's like, we do not tolerate the actions of Activision Blizzard. By the way, Choose Your Legends, round 6. Really?
All right.
Hold it until we're done, and then I'll let you segue, okay?
All right. Sorry. So, you can scratch this part, yeah.
Tyler, do you have any final thoughts on this before we move on?
No, I think, you know what? I'm really excited to hear about this Choose Your Legends
thing. Yeah. I was like, here, let me show you how.
All right. Go do it, my gosh. Yeah.
So let me show you it now. So this deal is a big thing, but we all know that in the end, what has happened will be defined by the heroism of those who stood up to what happened within Activision Blizzard, and they are the true heroes we should root for. Speaking of heroes, Fire Emblem. See? Perfect segue.
Well done.
Boom.
Well done.
All right. I'll give you that.
Why I'm the host, baby. That's why I'm the host. Fine. Now, what is the results currently?
So right now we have the female results currently right now, and leading the pack right now is Azura and Bernadetta of Three Houses. Right now number 4 is Byleth, female, and Corrin of Fates as well. So those are the top 4 right now.
Interesting. So, and obviously this is like what, 10 days? Right?
Yeah, we still got like a few more days. The interim results were coming on on the 24th.
So just keep voting. Like, I'm going to keep voting for Cordelia. And I was like, I was really struggling. Like, who am I going to vote for? Because I had my Three Houses characters. Ike has already been a legendary hero. And, like, who do I have left? And it's like, oh, Cordelia. Yeah, I like Cordelia. Cordelia is going to be one of my favorite potential wives. But I was like, who else do I vote for? I would go for Morim from Fire Emblem Path of Radiant and Dawn, because he's my favorite Lagus, but I feel like I'm in the niche. Like, I'm in the niche for liking Morim. I really don't know. If you were to vote, Tyler, who would you vote for?
For the women, I would probably vote for Cordelia as well. That's a good pick.
Thank you.
And then for the men, I would probably go Felix.
I like Felix.
Yeah, I'm thinking Felix.
Wait,
Crom hasn't gotten one yet, right? He keeps getting in the top.
That is the most sad story about that.
I would go for Crom for sure.
That would be an interesting one. We shall see. And well, of course, we will keep you posted every week based on what happens. So, just Be patient.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right. Next up, small pieces of news. Dying Light 2, the cloud version. Get used to hearing that for a while. Is delayed on Switch. I forgot this was coming out on Switch.
I forgot as well. Like, I know Dying Light 2 has been getting some steam, but I only focus on the other consoles. And yeah, running on Nintendo Switch, yeah, I don't have too high hopes.
So, just, yeah, I mean, especially when you look at how advanced this game, and even they said, like, there's allegedly, 500 hours of content or something like that. Didn't they, there was a post about that. Like, that's a lot to run on any console, but then the Switch, I'm more than happy to admit, is not the most powerful of a things. So,
mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, it's the cloud version. Oh, there, that explains it. That explains it. Oh, well. And, yeah, but it's been delayed. They're hoping to get it within the next 6 months or so, but we shall see. We shall see. Actually, going back to Fire Emblem really quick, there was more rumors coming out about potential Fire Emblem games announced or released this year. I'm like, stop
okay,
it.
Okay.
Stop it.
Yeah, I saw something that was like, a new game will come out this year, and yeah. Then a remake. There's no way. That would be crazy.
Well, no,
I mean,
okay,
I think
on.
Three Houses is a giant game, so I'm sure there's a ton of cut material, but I would be stunned. I mean, Three Houses came out 2019.
2019. Yeah, but remember, that was 3 years ago.
So, that is longer than I thought, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you forgot about that, didn't you? It's been 3 years.
That hurt my head.
Time flies.
That really hurt my head. 3 years is enough time to make a new game. Wow. Yeah, so that, I don't know. I still think that the remake comes out before the new game does.
Yeah, well,
I think so too. Yeah,
and that's the thing. They keep flip flopping to, oh, it's a new game that improves upon Three Houses, to, oh no, it's going to be a Genealogy of the Holy War. Make up your gosh dang minds. Like, I'm that's what I'm saying. I'm tired of these leaks, because until they happen, I don't know what to believe or if I can believe either any of them. And that's like enough. I don't want to keep hearing this, and I keep seeing it like every week. Oh, it's this thing is coming out, and this insider and that insider, and like, enough. Just,
I do think there's a pretty decent chance we get a Nintendo Direct within the next 2 to 3 weeks, though. With Arceus coming out, honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if they said next week we're going to do one right before Arceus, not as an Arceus only thing, but I'm sure there'd be content there, or right afterwards, as okay, let's fill in the rest of these blanks here.
Yeah, I doubt they'll do a Arceus Direct for no other reason than they did that 13-minute gameplay video, if you recall, last week.
Yeah,
that was very in depth. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was robust. The only other negative, sorry, I got tongue twisted there, towards there being a Direct, is the Kirby and the Forgotten Land release date being announced. I'm surprised they wouldn't have saved something like that for Direct if they planned on having one within, 2 to 3 weeks of releasing that Kirby release date.
Well, you know Nintendo, Tyler. They never do anything
And, also to add more to the Fire Emblem results right now, we actually got results for the male side of things right now. And apparently, we may get Crom finally as a legendary. And leading the pack right now is Battle of Mail. And the 3 and 4 is Felix and Robin.
Wow, Tyler, you're calling it.
Yeah, how about that? I'm woke.
Yeah, then Seliph and Sigurd, Holy War, Sorin, which I think would be interesting, and Yuri 3. Oh God, I hate Yuri.
Really?
Okay.
He's pretty okay.
Stop. Let me revise. I like the character. I liked playing with him in the game, but in Fae, he is way OP. When I face him at Tempest Trials, I have to like remember, okay, how many extra moves does he have, and then he can attack you and run away, and it's just like he's too OP.
He's the perfect hit and run, especially with that assist ability of his. Yes.
So, but that's an interesting. And of course, again, get your votes in now. I actually just voted for Cordelia again, even though it probably won't matter. So we'll see. And for, please stop with the freaking, oh, this has been leaked. It's not leaked. It's not a leak if there's no actual proof. It's speculation. Or say there's an insider who's saying this. But when you think of leak, I think of Rabbids, or I think of, I can't think of a good game anymore. There's plenty of examples, I promise. But I'm tired of hearing, oh, new Fire Emblem game leaked. And then I go in and it's like, oh, it's just an insider talking about it. That's not a leak. That's insider speculation. There's a difference.
Yeah, but the leak gets you to click when they say.
I know. I hate.
Make sure when
though.
We talk about this in the podcast description, you say they discuss the leaks.
Yeah. Leaks. Anyway. So yeah. All right. Next up. Okay, this one I actually have to go to, the list because we are still getting the best of 2021, which I'm still having trouble saying best of 2021. And we have both the UK and the US numbers, so this will be interesting, especially the US for reasons I'll explain in a second. But I'm always fascinated by these lists because it really gives an insight into what people buy and how they buy it, especially for the US. So let's see. For the for the Switch was indeed the best-selling console of the UK, which you would think, oh, but that's not a really big surprise, except by their own admission. The Switch sold 500,000 units in just November and December, and that helped them jump the PlayStation 5. So, take that, Sony. Screw your arms race! We'll just sell consoles, because we're good like that. Alright, and then for the US, the NPD data came out, and the top game of the year was Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, not surprising.
But isn't it, though? Because think about it, they only had 2 months to sell things.
What was what's the first word in the game's title?
Pokemon.
Precisely, precisely.
But then by that count, new Pokemon Snap have sold?
What's the first word of new Pokemon Snap?
New. Gosh dang it, Tyler. All right. But yes, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl did sell. But I will read the rest of the list, but I want to make there's one caveat that will change this list in your minds, I guarantee it. So, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl was first. Second was Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Third was Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury. 4, Animal Crossing New Horizons. 5, Smash Bros. Ultimate. 6, Monster Hunter Rise. 7th Breath of the Wild. 8, Mario Party Superstars. 9, Pokemon Sword and Shield. 10, Skyward Sword HD. 11 was Metroid Dread. I found that fascinating. 12, New Super Mario Brothers. 13 was New Pokemon Snap, probably because it's new in the title, right, Tyler?
Yep.
14 was Minecraft. I don't want to talk about that. 15 was Super Mario 3D All-Stars in the 3 months before it went away. 16, Super Mario Party. 17, Super Mario Odyssey. 18, Ring Fit Adventure. Good for that game. I need to get one myself. 19, Mario Golf Super Rush. And 20, Luigi's Mansion 3.
Luigi's Mansion 3, I mean, what an underrated seller. That game is always in the top of the lists. I'm very surprised we haven't heard more about future plans for that property.
Well, remember how long it took between Dark Moon and 3, so... Really
yeah, but Dark Moon, I mean, Dark Moon was successful. 3 is like a mega hit.
It was. All right, but here's the catch. This list is only physical copies sold.
Okay.
It does not include the digital data, which Nintendo like never ever releases unless they combine it with the sales. So I would wonder now, especially in the quarantine world that we still live in, how would this list change if the digital sales were included? Because I think that the switching up would be a big switch.
I'm trying to remember every game that you had said, but what should I Google to pull up this exact list?
Well, we know Monster Hunter Rise was pretty good, so that's why I'm wondering how much that one sold digitally. Or Metroid Dread, because we know that one sold over 1 million copies in its like first couple weeks. Or New Pokemon Snap, we knew that one was like at, I think they said 3 million, I think. So, and again, this is just the US and without digital sales, but I'm really curious about, especially with like what you know, like Luigi's Mansion 3 being on here, and Odyssey and Super Mario Party still, or Minecraft. This is just physical sales, and yet they're on the list in the top 20. So that makes it very curious for me. So,
yeah, no, it's definitely an interesting list, but I would think that the physical copies are going to tell you pretty much the same story as the digitals would.
Maybe
like barring those small like $15 indie games that aren't going to crack the list anyway.
I went to my local Meijer the other day, or on Sunday, and And Meijer was one of the places I would always go for my video games. And they had this massive electronic section, and they used to have the demo stations. In fact, it was at Meijer where I found out I did the trailer demo of Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, which of course started my Fire Emblem journey. And they used to have these walls full of games, and they used to have the amiibos when I worked there. And I went there, and for the first time in a while, I actually looked at the electronics section. All the games were gone. Every single one of them. Like, you wouldn't even recognize the electronics section from when I worked there, not even 2 years ago, to where it is now. It's that big of a change, and I'm just like, wow. And that makes sense, because there are a lot of people who only buy digital, or if they do buy physical, they buy from things like Amazon or other like dedicated electronic stores like Best Buy. But even then, the digital sales are rising. So, I don't know. Everything's changing, guys.
It's definitely, it's sad. I mean, like, everything, I mean, again, I as I always said, I just love my physical copies much better than digital. Convenient, but yeah, it's, as you said, times are changing. I feel old.
The only reason I don't have more physical copies of my Switch titles is because I get review copies from our boss, Keith. And of course, he sends me digital copies, not physical ones. So that way I can just jump in and play the game. And I'm fine with that. But there are times when I'm like, oh, I have to, you know, get rid of other save data and uninstall games so I can re-upload ones like what I did with Saints Row and everything. So, eh. All right, and now for one of the other biggest pieces of news of the week, Kingdom Hearts. Because on the not long after Skull Kid Scott said that Square Enix should totally announce native ports for the Kingdom Hearts saga on Switch, they went no and announced the saga is indeed coming to Switch on February 10th. That's right, we are only a few weeks away, and they have near entire saga for you to play. Okay, what does that mean? There are a few games that are not on here. Some of the mobile titles like Union X is not on here. And obviously Melody of Memory is not on here because that's already on the Switch. But the main titles, the main story games will be available as cloud versions. And though we didn't put it in the article at the time, there are demos available for you to play. And Skull Kid Scott did indeed brave the cloud versions to play them. And they're not exactly very good. Yeah. And apparently, like, the worst one is the one that I know most people like myself would want to play, which is Birth by Sleep, which was a PSP title. Okay? So they couldn't even get the PSP game. And I know, yes, it was upgraded later. I don't care. To work well on the Switch. And now it makes me wonder how the heck Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to play, because that was, of course, the Frostbite engine? Or no, it was the Luminous engine.
Yes, the Luminous engine.
And it's like, I'm scared now. Because I asked to review these games, and if I play them in the state that I think I'm going to be playing them, it's not going to be good.
we discussed this prior, and the fact that Square Enix just like saying nope, yeah, we're just continuing on with the cloud stuff. Yeah, bear with it. We'll give at the most minimum amount of effort, and like at least you can play Kingdom Hearts on the Switch. But yeah, the way they're performing right now is just ugh. That's all we can say. It's just ugh. You can add a bit more effort. Yeah.
Yeah, I just. Oh, and it also doesn't help that if you buy the entire saga, it will cost you about $90, unless you get the pre-order version, which will take $18 off the price tag.
So, that's not much. The fact that you can actually get the entire package on PS4 for, like, I think even $20 now, it's staggering. It's a staggering difference.
So I don't know whether I'm going to be playing these. It really just depends, because I almost don't want Keith to get this for me, because I've never done cloud games on the Switch before. So I feel that my internet is good enough, but I don't. There are times when I wonder, and if it doesn't run good, and you need it to run good, especially in combat, I don't want to play it. All right. I mean, granted, I want to do this journey. I love Kingdom Hearts. I am one of the few. I don't understand the story half the time, but I at least try. All right. There's these keys, right? And there's like hearts that unlock, even though hearts can't be unlocked. Whatever. So I love the combat, love the stories, love the worlds, and I want to play Kingdom Hearts 3. I will eternally hate Square Enix for putting Kingdom Hearts 3 on the Xbox over the Switch when we deserved it. But if it's only a cloud version, I've got a bad feeling about this. So, I'm just saying, it makes me worry, and I don't want to, because this should be like a crowning thing for the Switch and the Switch owners. Like, here is your reward. You finally get it as a cloud version. Like, why?
Here's hoping, like, maybe if comes released, maybe they'll like patch it or some sort, at least try to make it stabilized when it releases. But I kind of doubt it. If Control was any hint, if anything, yeah.
Oy vey. All I can think of is Rolling Stones. Hey, you get off of my cloud. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Reese's. All right, next up, a story that will make both Tyler and Will happy, Monster Hunter Rise. Because apparently, Monster Hunter Rise has passed over 8 million units shipped out to the.
Yep.
Yeah, you are now 2 of the 8 million. Congratulations.
Love to be a part of the 8 million. It's a real honor.
Yeah.
It's just really great. Since the PC releases, like, really did gave it a second wind, and I was just seeing like Twitch streamers, especially like playing this game, and they love it. Just how it's just improved, and just overall the buzz and whistles. I mean, it really just re I'm happy. Like, everybody now is definitely appreciating the value of Monster Hunter Rise. Like, people came from World, now go to Rise. It's just definitely that great upgrade, and I'm just glad to see people are enjoying it now. Even more people to enjoy it.
So the reason I really wanted to mention this was that I remember when Monster Hunter Rise was announced on the Switch, and a lot of people were very curious about it because this Nintendo platforms have had console exclusive-ish ones of Monster Hunter, like Monster Hunter Tri on the Wii and Monster Hunter Ultimate, I believe, on the 3DS. But this was like the one that was like custom made. It wasn't a port. It was custom made for the Switch, and a lot of people were curious about how it was going to play, especially since it was definitely not going to be as grand as Monster Hunter World. And it blew people away. And to be clear, the 8 million shipped is for both the Switch and the PC version.
Yes.
But even then, like, the Switch is dominating most of those sales, which is fine. And I'm just happy it's doing well because Capcom, as noted earlier, has made plenty of Switch games, both porting and exclusives, and I would hope that this entices them to keep doing more because, in theory, this should not have gone well, but because they took their time and they made it work, it's still being talked about today. It was nominated for a bunch of awards at the Game Awards, and now it's got 8 million shipped, and that's incredible no matter who you are. So, never know. All right, and finally, a story that will make Tyler both happy and cringe. The Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack.
Hey.
It has Banjo-Kazooie.
Hey.
And now the question is, ladies and gentlemen, will the port be good?
After early results say yes. I have not
Ooh.
seen a lot of complaining. The only things I've seen is some people say the graphics are a little fuzzy, and I'm not
Aww.
convinced that that's not just because it's an N64 game that they played in their childhood and don't remember. Because from what I've seen, it's pretty much exactly, it looks good. This looks like the best one, or the least controversy from Nintendo Switch Online in a long time, I think, is this release.
Yeah, like, it's the way I'm seeing it right now. Yeah, you and many other people have just been clamoring that, like, want to play Banjo-Kazooie, and from what is in even like some early gameplays right now, it seems to be holding up so far pretty well. So yeah, and also with the addition, aside from Banjo-Kazooie, just recently today, they announced that Majora's Mask will be coming as well. So overall, it started to shape up nicely.
Okay, but I heard there's a glitch already on that one.
For real?
Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
Enlighten me.
This is some prank.
Remember that the original expansion pack games, like they had the frame rate issues. They had sound issues. And with Majora's Mask, there's like this glitch where you have to play it within a certain amount of time, otherwise it crashes after 3 days. Oh!
I'm not doing you, Todd. I'm doing Will for not knowing where that was coming.
Yeah, come on, man. It was obvious.
I walked into that one.
Yes, you did. And now the moon's gonna crash into you.
For how long?
Yeah. I was like, we've been doing it for 262 episodes, Will. Get used to it. Oh, man. Now you have to go and mask your shame. Hey, Todd, how long are you going to make puns? You know, a majority of the time.
Oh, that was kind of good. I'll be honest, that was kind of good.
Did you see the dip? He was like, oh, that was kind of good.
I had to reconsider it. I had to play it back in my head. It was like, credit to Todd. That was a winner.
That's why I'm the host. Anyway, but we have been ragging on the expansion pack for good reason. But if the ports are great, fine. I'm happy for them. But
still too expensive.
It's still too expensive.
Still too expensive. Yes, we all can agree on that. Yes.
So yeah, I'm just we'll see how it happens, and Tyler, I expect a full update on Banjo-Kazooie by next week.
I will have that.
All right. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we head into our main event. Now, usually we would do a segment like this the day before a game is released, but given that, you know, things are already leaking out right now, we're going to be talking about Pokemon Legends Arceus. And okay, I want to say this for the record. Is it Arceus or Arceus or Arceus? I've been hearing it like three different ways.
I
always heard it as Arceus.
Me too.
I always believe it's Arceus. Yes, Arceus.
Yeah. Okay. I'm calling it Arceus, but I'm sorry. I'm calling the Arceus God, the God of Pokemon World. Anyway, I was gonna make a joke here, but I won't. So yeah, Pokemon Legends Arceus is coming out next Friday, or by the time you're listening to this, more than likely a week from today. And there's some huge leaks going out, and even G4 was talking about this. Yes, I will plug G4 as much as I can. Go watch it. They were talking about, like, you know, what it's going to potentially be, what it could mean, whether Game Freak is going out on a limb on this one and whatever. So we're going to talk about our personal expectations for what we want to see in Pokemon Legends Arceus, what we hope for it to be, what it might lead to, and more. And we're going to do it all in an Nintendo discussion. All right, so we'll start out with giving our hopes. What do we hope that Pokemon Legends Arceus is going to be? Tyler, I want to start with you.
I am hoping for an expansive world that changes the way we interact with a Pokemon game. I don't want this game to play it safe. It doesn't seem like it is, but I'm excited for the idea of roaming this fully fleshed out 3D world. I would like for interconnectivity to be a thing, a Breath of the Wild style world, although I believe that it's been confirmed that the game is kind of mission based. We're going out into the wilderness and then back into towns with loading screens in between. That's the number one thing for me, is I want to be in this ancient Sinnoh and just blown away by the sights, the atmosphere, and the environment. This is Sword and Shield and even more to a greater extreme, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, they lack a natural charm that I think would make so much sense for a game about nature. I don't really find myself in awe of, I can't even think of the region in Gen 8, sort of the Galar or the modern Sinnoh. But ancient Sinnoh, with this kind of more natural, pre-civilization almost vibe, I think has potential to be a magical kind of laid-back experience in the way Pokemon games generally are.
Will?
what I expected for Legend of Arceus is, like, at least for what they showed off so far, like, the one thing I'm kind of really hoping for is, like, really expanding, like, the hometown area, like, how they expanded the civilization, that the whole Survey Corps. That's the one thing I kind of want to see, how they're going to do it. Like, we've seen, like, a bit of the side quest of, like, oh, how this gauntlet looks, we bring it here, bring it to this quest giver. And as you said, the world, I wonder how it is going to be. The fact that we're going to have Snorlax chasing after you, or these different Pokemons, like, be either be kind or be or come at you bloody murder, is just like, that's one thing I am curious about, like, especially with the whole noble Pokemon. We see these, like, the lords of each region, that is one thing I'm definitely curious about. But majority of the wise, I'm just curious about how they're like gonna make the story of the Survey Corps. Like, are all these quests gonna be what is it leading to? I mean, it seems to be, again, the major purpose is to survey and make the modern-day Sinnoh. It's just, like, how they're going to do it. And, of course, with the yet-to-be-revealed Arceus, how it's going to connect to all these different Pokemon. That's the one thing I'm kind of curious about. So, more for me, it's definitely the story bits of it.
Yeah, for me, it's multi-layered. The first thing is, I want this to feel like a totally ish a Pokemon experience. And based on that 13-minute preview video, I think we're actually going to get that in terms of, you know, how you could sneak up on Pokemon and actually capture them, like, without having to battle them. Battles are not required, technically, outside of the Warden fights. So I'm interested in that. I definitely, with Tyler, I want to see, like, a kind of a Breath of the Wild feel, which we are, they said we are going to get. It's just, it won't be as tied together, if you will. Because we are only going to get to explore certain areas at a time, but those areas are apparently very expansive. And there's this new video of actually lets you see Hisui in 360, and it's very vast and beautiful. And you can of course fly with the Hisuian Braviary, or ride on the that very evil fish, you know, the one that doesn't stop because it's imbued with the angry souls of dead fish. Anyway, Basque Legion. There you go, Basque Legion. You know, there's going to be a lot of exploration. I'm very interested in seeing that. But I want this to feel like almost kind of like a predecessor to what the modern games play like with, you know, how you catch Pokemon, how you craft it. Because they said, like, there's going to be special missions where you need, like, items and lures to take care of the Warden Pokemon or get other Pokemon. And, of course, you can actually get hurt. You can literally not die, but you can get knocked out by Pokemon, which is something that they show in the anime, like, all the time. So I want this to feel as much like the Pokemon world as we can get, and based on what I'm seeing, I'm seeing that. But of course, we won't know how it feels until we actually get into it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one for me, too. The feel of combat. I don't think that there's anything wrong with the current Pokemon battle system. It's definitely satisfying. But that seamless transition that we've seen in and out of combat, I feel like that's a really important detail to get right. Like, you want the game to be smooth and just easy to pick up and play. But at the same time, I do enjoy the structure of traditional battles. So I'd like to see how that kind of blends together with the more freeform style that they're going for.
Yeah, pretty much is that. Like, we've come from so many Pokemon games now. Again, that traditional style formats of, like, turn based, and again, you encounter Pokemon just randomly instead of, like, the usual with this game of, like, you actually can see it since Sword and Shield now. And yeah, it's definitely an interesting transition, and with the whole power versus agile style, like, That's going to add a bit more layer to the strategy, which no doubt about it, people will learn and adapt quickly, I bet. So, yeah, I'm just kind of really am curious of seeing how this entry will set a staple for other Pokemon games later on in the future. I just, like, how will it make its identity? That's one thing I am kind of curious about.
Yeah. And going on to our next one, what do we, you know, what would kind of, we already talked about, like, our expectations, but, like, going a little bit beyond in that, I want to see how deep they make this Hisui region different, because like one of the things a lot of people were questioning was like, wait a minute, so it's just an older version of Sinnoh, what does that mean? And then we're like, okay, well, we're doing the first Pokedex, there's no Team Galactic, but there's a Survey Corps, and then we find out that there's these two groups that worship the god Sinnoh, who may or may not be Arceus, and like they both have a different interpretations of what their god wants from them, so how is that going to lead into everything? The missions, like, yes, some of them are as simple as going and capturing Pokemon, but other ones are going to be advancing the story. And I want to know how that's all going to feel. Like, it almost feels like Xenoblade Chronicles X, where you would go to a region and you'd do missions, and then eventually you would do a story mission to help push things along, and that would open up more territory. And I wouldn't mind them doing that, because that was actually one of the kind of the unique things about X that I really liked. So... And then, of course, you could go back to the other regions and more missions and side quests. But I want to see how much they really let us dig into this Hisui region. Because as I noted, I don't know, like a month or so back, a lot of the Pokemon that we're going to see, and through the leaks that we are not going to talk about much, because I haven't looked at them, I don't want to know them, and I hope you don't want to know them either, there are going to be more Hisuian variants. But that means that they don't exist in our modern world, because Hisui becomes Sinnoh, and these Pokemon don't exist. So are we going to find out the reason why they don't exist, or what other ones coming over from other regions? There's also rumors that this game will actually tease another region for Gen 9, which may or may not come out this year or next year, who knows. So there's a lot of questions, but I want to know more about Hisui and how that eventually turned into Sinnoh, just beyond, oh, humans came around, because I would hate for that to be the only reason, you know, because yes, I know colonization sucks. It's trust me, I know. But like, I want it to be more than that, and I want to know, like, how did we go from this untamed wild to Sinnoh? And like, I think that would help make it very different.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think anytime you're taking a game or a movie and you're bringing the setting back from what people know, it's so important. It always says. Satisfying to see little tiny things that form into things that you know and remember from the, in this case, from the original Diamond and Pearl. It would be tremendous to see landmarks, or even just like rock formations, like just small little details that you're like, oh, that's so cool that grew into this, and I can see how that progressed through time. That would be very satisfying.
Right. Like, and for like diehard Pokemon fans, again, they have read every single like flavor text we're going to about these like the history of Pokemon in general, and like for this game of Hisui, it's just like, yeah, like how like this game is going to influence like the later games. Like, we always see like, oh, like humans and Pokemon actually get together and all that, and it's just like there's a lot of details, like to the point that, again, we like Todd, you always basically said it best. Like, this thing gets real dark real quick. Like, to the fact that there's like so much like ghost variant Pokemon as their versions. I mean, like, you see the Hisui, the Corsola variant ghost Pokemon, right? You saw that one, correct?
Yeah. And then, of course, with the Basque Legion, which is, it has the souls of its angry dead brethren to make sure that it goes upstream. What is this madness?
It's just like, yeah, again, there's going to be a lot of details, which no doubt about a lot of fans will definitely like hardball crack into. And of course, naturally, the shiny hunts will continue on, which, yeah, I can only imagine how that's going to be.
The shiny hunts.
Like, again, there'll be some people that actually just stay there for like the entire 24 hours. I'm not kidding, but I digress. It's, yeah, I just do wonder like how it will continue to be in this game. Like, just what is it there to expect? Yes.
And then continuing on with that, a thing I'm very curious about is how they're going to show off the Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is that, you know, with the wild area with Sword and Shield, we got a taste of what that could be, you know, with the Pokemon being out in the wild and this having to get closer to them to, you know, battle them. But here, you can, like I said, you can catch them without them even noticing you. You'll even have items to help you do that, and then other ones will actually attack you, and you can ride others in ways that are more than just, you know, I'm riding you in a straight line or whatever. And I'm very curious about how they're going to portray the Pokemon in certain elements, and also the variety we see in certain zones, because that was another thing the Wild Area did well enough at times, but then at other times you would see like 10 of a single Pokemon in a small area, and I want to see more than that, because yes, I know a lot of Pokemon do groups or herds or whatever, what have you, but I want more variety. And so I'm interested in how they not just bundle the Pokemon together, but how they just spread them out over Hisui and what other ones we'll see, which is obviously part of the leaks because they were showing what Pokemon will and will not be there to an extent. So I just want this kind of a natural, you know, hey, we're going into the Pokemon world, and every, not just the Wild Area, but like every area we go to, it has this kind of a natural Pokemon feel. And I feel that that would heavily influence not just the future Legends games should they decide to do them, but also like Gen 9 as they try and, you know, adapt what was good in Arceus into the mainline titles. So
yeah, I like that, because I agree. I'm not sure if, from what we've seen, if the art direction or the Switch's power can create kind of my dream. You're dropped in a Pokemon world and you get to just go explore and see how these creatures interact in the wild naturally. I don't think that that's what we're going to get here, but it is a step towards that. So seeing how they execute on, you know, the I'm trying, not biology, what am I trying to think of? How the different species interact with each other out in this untamed land is one of the most exciting parts of this game from a longtime fan perspective. We get to see a whole new side of Pokemon. Also, we're going to get to see Pokemon kind of drawn to scale, I would say. It's cool, at least compared to Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. You really don't understand the size of these Pokemon. Pokemon Snap is a good job of it.
Yes.
From what we've seen, I feel like you're going to get more of that Pokemon Snap vibe from this game. And yeah. That to me is as you know, delightful, because I loved that game.
Yeah, same here. And it actually goes back to that 13-minute gameplay preview. One of the enraged Pokemon that you meet is a Walrein, and it looks massive compared to your trainer. So, yeah, I'm interested to see. And, of course, once we meet Arceus, whenever we meet Arceus, you know, that's a god amongst Pokemon, and you know that I want to see him like just like towering over you, and you know, and again, how does Arceus fit into all of this? Because again, the game is named Legends Arceus, so oh, I'm sorry, what's the first word, Tyler?
Pokemon.
Yes, it's Pokemon. but it's Pokemon Legends Arceus, and I want, and that they've been very good about hiding Arceus, and I totally dig that. So like, where is the, when's the shoe going to drop, if you will? And it's going to be interesting. And that's why I think it's honestly a little hard to know what to expect, because we've seen them explain it. But this is very much a game where you're not going to know if you like it or not until you play it. Because I can see the 13-minute gameplay preview, and I saw the shots of the trainer going through the various areas, and it looks and feels like a Breath of the Wild thing. But until I'm doing it myself, they're just clips. And I saw on G4, they were talking about, oh, they're not sure if the battle system is, and you know, the changes like strong style and speed and agile style and all that, you know, how that's going to feel in gameplay. Well, we're not going to know until we play it. So there's so much going on, and I like it. I like that Game Freak is taking this chance, because they know what fans want, but they also know that there's a lot of people who enjoy the core gameplay of the mainline games, and they don't want to change those too much because of that connection, which I understand. And then this is their way of saying, okay, let's try something different and see if you like it. And it can only, we could hope, it can only get better from here if they do a sequel, regardless of what, you know, generation they go to. So that makes me interested, because if this is just like most everyone agrees that although Breath of the Wild was great, the sequel's probably going to be better. Because the Breath of the Wild was their test. They're saying, hey, let's throw this genre that we love, or this franchise that we love, into this more open world style and see what we can make. And it was good. It was very good. And, you know, game of the year. But let's now try and make that better. And that's exciting. And that's why I feel this is going to be with Arceus. Arceus is, hey, let's see where we can take this. And then, where can we take this next time? How can we make it bigger? How can we make it better? You know? And the answer is, of course, more water. I have more water. They take it to Hoenn and just water the heck out of the place.
Yeah, as I said earlier, it's just, again, not like... what kind of staple it can establish with this game, like what would it, like, out of it, like, learn from this game, and then, like, okay, now we know what to do with the next game, like, okay, like, we have these Pokemon, this open world area, we try something new, see what, and let's see what sticks. It's definitely, like, as you said, this is definitely the Pokemon Company's greatest and mostly experimental kind of game that they finally released it after so many years. So from what, like, again, we'll see how it performs, how, what the fan feedback is going to be, and we'll see if it's either be the great Pokemon game that people hoped it is, or just another stepping stone.
What do you guys expect this game's Metacritic score to be? Because expect it to be 84.
I'm getting the feeling that people would always have something to nag about, so I'm gonna go with a solid 80, if anything.
Oh gosh, I don't know, because you know there's gonna be people that absolutely love it because of the changes, and there are gonna be people who say, you know, I don't like this change and that change and the other. I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm not trying to make a joke here. I wouldn't be surprised if it was in like the high 70s, like a 78 or whatever. Because it is a drastic change. But then again, if it resonates with people, like I think Game Freak wants it to, I wouldn't be surprised if it's high 80s. So that 10-point range is going to depend on whether the game resonates with people in a meaningful way. So we'll see. Okay, and my last question, and it's arguably the most important question. Should this game work? And I know, Tyler, I know the first word of the game, but let's just say... that it does indeed, it does do good, and they decide, let's continue this. Where is the next logical place to go?
I am so glad you asked this question, because I'm not kidding, 3 minutes ago thinking, oh man, if this is successful, where would I like the next one to be, while we were discussing it? And my answer that I came up with was, I think it should take place in outer space. I think we should go to the future. We're going to the past now. We get the nature. I would love to see what the future of the world of Pokemon is like. What is it like once humans and Pokemon have lived together for X amount of time and advanced to X point? Like, what is it like 100 years from now? I think that would be really cool. You could open up. You could do a ton of stuff with story. You could do a ton of stuff with new Pokemon types. I feel like that's got potential.
Actually had another crazy idea. Like, instead of like going to space, like, yeah, let's go do the other thing. Let's go do actually time travel.
Oh no,
they haven't touched that. I mean, yeah, we've seen other media do it. We've never actually seen the Pokemon Company do such with that mechanic. So time traveling, I don't know.
Okay, I'm gonna root it in reality. All right, and confine it to the actual. I mean, I don't mind the creativity, guys, but that's almost too much. That's almost too much. If we're going in line with what Legends Arceus was, because Arceus is a Pokemon that has never been in the mainline games outside of going to your local Toys R Us and downloading the character. If I was to pick a Pokemon that kind of needs that attention, you could do, actually, that would work. What if we did the Kalos region before the Great Weapon, the Great War? Because remember, it is canonically stated that the Kalos region has the fewest new Pokemon because of the war that happened 3,000 years ago, and the devastating weapon that was used because of the power of Xerneas and Yveltal. So we can see Kalos before it got ruined, and we could even have the game go right up into the war and having the weapon be used to destroy all the Pokemon. What was the guy's name?
Yeah, I forget. He had a stupid orange hairdo.
He did.
Started with an S.
Yeah, his Pokemon was the flower petal one.
Yeah.
Like, I've waited so long for you to come back to me. Like let's learn more about that time. And then the Pokemon we can focus on is Zygarde. because there was supposed to be a Z game, but it never happened. And it was right there. And they even teased Zygarde in multi-form. Heck, the Pokemon anime did more for Zygarde than the games did. So, which you could also say for Arceus, because they also had a movie about him. So that would be interesting. You know, seeing a literal war-torn nation before it was war-torn. That could be interesting. And then the conflict of humans versus Pokemon, which has only slightly been touched upon in the past. That would be an interesting thing. So Pokemon Legends Zygarde. So, see, I follow trends, ladies and gentlemen. I don't go to freaking outer space.
You love that idea. Everybody loves that idea.
The concept, sure, but I'm not sure how that would work. Like, that's half the point. I don't know how it would work because the entirety of the Pokemon world as we know it, even with Deoxys and Clefable and even the Ultra Beasts, you know, they're all defined within a dimension that comes to our world.
But how do you think people, what do you think society would look like if people and Pokemon worked together for 1,000 years to, like, progress society? Whatever you like, I would love to know what Game Freak thinks that world would look like, and I think that world certainly would look interesting. Is the relationship between people and Pokemon stressed? Are the societies more natural, or are we more future-y and science-y and everything is chrome, as Squidward would say? But I feel as though that idea, especially considering all the design types that you could do and all the settings that you could explore. I don't know. I'm in on it.
Okay, but just to be clear, if they were to do that, the focus would be Deoxys, right?
Deoxys would be a great choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do Deoxys for sure.
Yeah. But Deoxys, of course, one of my favorite Pokemon ever. So, I don't know. I'm very curious, because, I mean, the fact that they're calling this Pokemon Legends Arceus implies that they do want to do a franchise with it. And so, if they continue by going to the past or the future or time travel, and we meet the Doctor, and he has a Pokemon. Okay, who would the Doctor have as his companion? There you go. Who would his Pokemon companion be? There's a question for Pokemon fans. In fact, Tyler, that's our poll question. Who would Doctor Who have as his Pokemon companion? Oh, God, no. And why is it Mr. Mime? No.
That's my least favorite Pokemon.
I know. Everyone hates Mr. Mime!
Nobody likes mimes.
No, there are some who like mimes. All right, and I thought people hated clowns more. I mean, especially after Pennywise. But I digress. So, there's a lot of ways this could go in the future, and that's why I'm honestly really hoping that Legends Arceus does well, so that it does do well, it does get that sequel, we could see how they can grow this, because it does have that potential, and I think that's what excites me the most, is that I know this game can be good, based on what I've seen, based on what I've heard, based on what the gameplay I have seen. And work for me, Breaking Kayfabe, has lightened up considerably in my last 24 hours. And so I really wish that it was coming out tomorrow so I could spend the next week focusing just on playing this game, because I have the time to do it. So, but alas, it is not. But we will talk more, hopefully, about Arceus next week. Hopefully there will be no more leaks. If you are a leaker, stop it. Stop it. Bad. Bad leaker. Bad. And if you don't want to get leaked, which... And certain someone in this podcast almost, like, spoiled something for me. Do you want the leak, Todd? No! Why in the world would I want it?
So, that was Will, by the way. That was not.
Oh, yeah, it was totally Will. It's totally Will. But there are leaks out there, so if you are trying to avoid them, see anything about a leak, just avoid it, avoid it, avoid it. You got a week. You got to make it that far.
And just as a reminder, on Twitter, you can actually filter out words so you don't actually can see those posts. So FYI.
There you go. All right. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we did have a great poll question for you.
Which you have not looked up right now, because you never, ever.
It was about Mario Kart 9, and I was very close to getting it loaded before you asked. Uh-huh. What would you like to see for Mario Kart 9? 25% of you said boats and planes. 39% of you said more guest characters. 14% said more robust battle mode. And 21% said the double dash mechanic.
Oh,
Yeah, I saw people say like triple dash. Like, how would that even work?
You'd be surprised. We never know.
Really big carts, Todd.
What does the
big
guy
carts.
In the middle do? Like, what does he do? He's like chunky, and
no,
yeah, I think you should leave.
They could have the pom poms, like they're the cheerleader.
Yeah, right.
And
figure
if,
out what you do.
And if you knock out the middle guy, their moral support drops, and so they're like they go slower by default until yeah. their cheerleader gets back up.
It could work, you never know.
Life finds a way. Life always finds a way. Alright, I'll save the obvious Arceus pull question for next week, because that's when the game comes out.
Yeah.
I will spare Tyler the indignity.
But most people will, by the time the next podcast comes out, I trust many people will have already played Legends of Arceus, so that's why we're doing it this week, because we release on Friday, Thursday at midnight. You should be able to play it. So.
Yeah. So we will not have a poll question this week. But do let us know what you thought of all the other news, including the Microsoft acquisition of Activision Blizzard. What do you personally think of it? Have you gotten the Kingdom Hearts demos from the cloud version, and what do you think of them? Were you one of the 8 million who have helped make Monster Hunter Rise such a success? And are you somehow one of the people who got the expansion pack? And do let us know what you think of Banjo-Kazooie and Majora's Mask on it. And what are your personal hopes and expectations and desires for Pokemon Legends Arceus? Let us know in the comments below. So, for Tellius Tyler, Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time, but we are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!